Amen. I had given this pad to my daughter a number of years ago, and she gave it back to me because for whatever reason. It says, believe on it. So I'm going to pass it around, and I would like each one of you to take a piece of paper, and if God moves on you in some way during this message to believe for something, I want you to write it down. The name of this message is Fixed and Focused. So that's what we're attempting to be here, is fixed and focused. And what are you focused on is a question that I would ask you. Before we move, I wanted to share, you know, when God gives you a revelation, he doesn't stop. He just keeps moving. And he gave me a whole thing last night before I went to sleep, which I want to share real quick before I start the message. The message is from Revelation. The book of Revelation, and it's about the seven churches and what God promised them if they obeyed him. It talks about what the problems were in each one of the churches in Asia, and it also talked about the solutions and what they could receive if they overcame the problem. So see, in an instance like that, we can take that scripture and use it for our lives because it's the Bible is the word of God, right? And it's living and breathing and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. So whatever is in the word is ours. There's people that, Christians, that don't believe that the Bible is alive, but I will tell you that it is alive and moves. There is one of the churches, which is the Church of Philadelphia. There was a prophetic word given in Isaiah 22:22, which is that the key of David is the key that we can receive, that no man, that whatever that key opens, no man can shut. And whatever that key shuts, no man can open. That key of David is the key of the kingdom. And it extends to Messiah because David was the forerunner of Jesus, even in history. I love the word of God because it all fits together. And the more you study it, and the more I study it, and the more I read it, and the more I understand, I just see God bigger and bigger and bigger every time that I go into the Word. So the kingdom of heaven, which if you get the keys of David, which have to do with worship, have to do with the kingdom being opened up. When Jesus died and rose again, that veil was rent. And that has given us all access to the heavenly realm and the kingdom. That's the door that Jesus opened and no man can shut. The door into the heavens. So we can step into the heavens boldly to the throne of grace and receive what we need every day, every moment because of Jesus, because of who he is, because of what he's done, because he was resurrected and ascended into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. There are two questions that the Holy Spirit asked me, and I'm going to ask you. Pastor Roy's been asking a lot of questions, and it's important that we do ask these questions. We ask ourselves these questions, or we ask God these questions. First question, what is your first thought in the morning? I also got delivered last night from fear. I realized that there was this little something when I couldn't go to sleep, and I would get irritated. So I'm laying there last night. Why am I irritated? And the Holy Spirit said, you're afraid. I said, what am I afraid of? He said, you're afraid of the terror in the night. So I said, really? So I said, I'm not afraid of the terror by night because your word says in Psalm 91 that I shall not be afraid of the terror by night. And yet there was the fear manifesting in my being. So he said to me, I will take care of you tonight. And I will take care of you tomorrow. And I will take care of you. And I have been taking care of you yesterday. So Jesus Christ is the one who is in present. He was and he is to come. He is the all-present Alpha and the Omega. So the two questions, what's your first thought in the morning? If my first thought in the morning is not Jesus, I love you, praise you, Jesus, I do that. Because I want my life to be set on the road where I love you, Jesus. I want to see God at every turn. Am I a fanatic? Yes. Are there others that are not fanatics? Yes. Are they still Christians? Yes. But I have more power. God answers my prayers quicker. I'm telling you that because it's true. You know why? Because he's right here. He's right here. He's the shade on my right hand. And I eat the tree of life every day. Every day. So that tree of life is what rules and reigns in my heart. And if it doesn't, I go back to find it. Whatever I need to find it. Those of you who are in here are also of the same ilk, so to speak, because you would not have remained here. I know that for truth. So there's something that we can do if our first thought is not Jesus. And then what is the primary goal for your life? What is the primary goal for your life? I can tell you what the primary goal for my life is, but I already asked myself the question. So you have to ask the question, what is the primary goal of your life? What is it that makes your heart swell and causes you to be so excited that you can't even stand yourself or stay in your own skin? What is that primary thing? I want to provoke you and motivate you to claim and walk in your inheritance. That's my job. That's my primary goal in life, is to provoke and motivate people to follow Christ and to get deeper and deeper in him, because he is the God of all flesh and there's nothing too difficult for him. It's what Jesus won for us on the cross. I'm asking you to read the book of Revelation. I've read the book of Revelation a number of times. I did have one experience where God actually drove me to the beach, and I sat there and read the entire book of Revelation. I don't even know how long it took. It was like that. And he just whooshed it into me. So I have already a lot of insight and understanding about the book of Revelation. And if you start with the book of, you start reading the book of Revelation, it says, blessed is he who reads this. Blessed is he who hears this. And blessed is he who keeps this word. So, I mean, Revelation, Pastor Roy's been talking about Revelation. Daniel 11:32 says, the people who know that God will do great exploits. Knowing God is having a personal knowledge of him, seeing him, understanding him. This is the definition of Revelation. Vision, revealing, unveiling, apocalypse. The book of Revelation is called the Apocalypsis because it's a book of revelation. Jesus Christ himself gave it to an angel and had that angel give it to John on the Isle of Patmos. It is the end. It is what's going to happen. So why would we not read it? It is the prophetic book in the Testament, in the Old and the New Testament. And Jesus, it's all about Jesus. The whole book is about Jesus and who he is and what's going to happen and the warfare and all the things that we have experienced and are going to experience. He was caught. He was given an open vision. John is no different than you and I. God can give us open visions. God can speak to our lives about what's coming. So believe that and know that that's the truth. Jesus opened the door between the holy place and the most holy place. So the truth of the gospel is that we are able to come into the presence of God. Now, as a church body, yesterday was 30 days fasting. I called for a 40-day fast, so we have another 10 days. But I would ask that each one of you read every day, whether it's in the morning or sometime during the day, one of the excerpts from Revelation about one of the churches. There's seven of them. And then read Revelation 4:1, which talks about believing what God has done for you in opening the door. And what it says is, come up here. Come up here. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard addressing me like the calling of a war trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place in the future. At once I came under the Holy Spirit's power, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. Say, yes, Lord, I'm coming up. See, if you don't believe that you can go up, you will not. God is not going to come and drag you up there. You understand? So you have to say, I believe that I can come up. I believe that I can enter into throne room because of the blood of Jesus. And guess who's going to try to stop you immediately? The enemy and yourself. Because you think you're not worthy enough. You know what? You're not. But as a new creation, you are. Because your new creation can communicate with God and communicate with the Holy Spirit. PR was talking about Proverbs 29:18, which I thought was what you were going to say. But anyway, it says, when there is no prophetic vision, special revelation, or God's word. See, the special revelation, the vision is God's word. So if you don't know what God's word says, how will you live God's life? Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Vision here refers to a special revelation. And the principle is that that apart from God's word, now listen, society spins into moral chaos. Oh, what is happening in America? And a total loss of social order. It happened in the Roman Empire. It's happening here. But I want you to know, if you remember in your history, when George Washington started America, there were evangelists. It wasn't George Washington that set the tone, although he was a Christian and he was baptized in the Holy Ghost and he spoke in tongues and he had a lot of miracles that happened to him because he was a believer. But there were men and women of God, evangelists, pastors who were preaching the gospel at the time, who went around all up and down New York, Jonathan Edwards. These people spoke and declared the word of God, and they are the ones that influenced those that made the laws. There were men that were in Congress who were not believers, but they still came to prayer, and they heard the Bible being read. So the truth that we have to not rely on who's going to end up sitting in the White House, because truthfully, I can't stand behind either of them, but in my own heart. But we do have to make a choice. But I would say, what are the issues? What is going to help this country? That president is not going to have all that power anyway. If you can see even what happened with President Obama. God has control over what's going on in this country. And he wants this family, America, redeemed. That's what he wants. So we have to pray for America. We have to pray for the country. We have to pray for the churches to rise up and share the reality of the living Christ. Yes. So I did write what the difference was between a revelation and spiritual revelation. A spiritual revelation, and here once again, the revealing or disclosing of some form of truth or knowledge through communication with a deity or other supernatural entity. That means God, right? So we have to talk to God. We can hear from God, can we not? When we have a spiritual revelation, God is the one that's talking. All right. The book starts out, grace and peace to you. That's pretty good, isn't it? Grace and peace to you. You open up the book. Oh, grace and peace. Grace and peace to you. Oh, I received that. Grace and peace to me. Yes, this is my Bible. Grace and peace to you. Grace and peace to you. That's a good way to greet someone. Grace and peace to you. Blessed are the readers, the hearers, and the keepers of this book. The book of Revelation. Also the entire book. But it starts out, it says in Revelation, blessed are the readers, hearers, and the keepers of this book. So why would we not read it? Who do you think is stopping the body of Christ from reading the book of Revelation? You have an enemy who hates you. Overcomers, he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. God wants us to be overcomers. So if you read what's in Revelation and you read the word and the problem that each one of the churches had and the solution for each one of the churches, you can receive that and be an overcomer. So you can walk in that. There are many ways that people have explained and identified and brought about the understanding of the seven churches. They were real churches in Asia, which is now Turkey. That's where they established. All of these seven churches were real churches, and Jesus sent the word through John for each one of those churches. So what did he say in the book of Revelation? He says, open your ears. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. That's us. We're one of those churches. So not as a church body. I don't want you to look for yourselves in the church. I want you to personally look as you're listening to what I'm saying. Is that me? Is that a problem that I'm having right now? And find the answer, because the answer is there. So I want you to read, every day I want you to read one of the churches and pray for yourself for the solution, for the victory, the overcoming, all-conquering end. For each one of those churches, there was a word that Jesus had for them to be set free. So, and I want you to read the door standing open heaven, come up here. Yes. In the Message it says, are your ears open? Are your ears open? Listen to what the wind word is saying to the churches. The wind word, that is the word of God anointed and appointed by the Holy Spirit. So listen to what the wind word, that's what the Message says. What is the Holy Spirit saying to the churches? What is the Holy Spirit saying to this church? What is the Holy Spirit saying to us individually? Because we are part of the body. We want to comply with and overcome all of these specific situations and apply the wisdom to our lives. PR shared and asked over the last couple of weeks talking about Solomon. Solomon prayed for an understanding heart, which was a hearing ear. Do you remember that? We want to have a hearing ear. I'm going to share one little thing that the Lord has been opening up for me over the last month. He started to talk to me about the Morning Star. In one of these churches, one of the victories and one of the gifts is the Morning Star. And I started to ask the Lord, okay, I receive the Morning Star, whatever it is you're telling me. So I'm reading Revelation, I start looking it up, and then I'm going through all the references and I'm realizing, of course, if some of you are in the Word, that the devil was called the Morning Star also. So the end result of my study and my praying and coming into a place of revelation with the Lord was that every time, because I know the Morning Star, the last three songs I've written have exalted Elohim and the Morning Star. The Morning Star is Jesus Christ himself. Every time I exalt the Morning Star, the enemy is under my feet. Because the Morning Star was in heaven. He was the Morning Star. Satan was the head of worship in heaven. Well, he lost that title, and he lost that position because of his rebellion and his pride, and he was cast down to the earth. So he's under my feet because the Lord showed me that he no longer has or carries that name of Morning Star. He's Lucifer. He's the accuser. He's the deceiver. He's the father of lies. Unfortunately, where he ended up. But every time I say, bless you, Morning Star, the enemy's mouth is shut. I have a power and authority over that. And that is what God showed me just from one portion of the scripture that I meditated on for over a month. He is the Morning Star. He's in my heart. The Morning Star is reigning in my heart. So are your ears awake? Listen to the word wind. What is the wind, the word wind saying to you? I'm just going to go really quick through all seven churches, and there's a lot. I mean, I could probably teach on this for over a couple of years, but I'm just quick going down. I'm really more desiring for you to receive what you can get in triumph as an overcomer. But you do need to look at it and see what did they. So it's just like a one-line answer. And if you want to study it, I do want you to read it. I want you to get into it. I want you to start asking Jesus for these tools because they're yours. Just like the armor, just like putting on praise as a weapon, understanding that he's your rear guard wherever you are, knowing that the truth that is in the Word of God is yours forever and has power. Ephesus, Revelation. This is from Revelation 2 all the way down to Revelation 3:22. Ephesus was the church that had forsaken its first love. Smyrna is the church that would suffer persecution. Pergamum is the church that needed to repent. I think at least four of them were asked to repent. Thyatira, the church that had a false prophetess. Sardis, the church that had fallen asleep. Philadelphia is the church that had endured patiently. Laodicea is the church with the lukewarm faith. So now I'm going to go down and tell you what each church receives, a promise, if they overcame that thing that God spoke to them about. Whatever it was, the word that Jesus Christ himself gave to John for that church, that real living body in that church, in that place in Asia. Number one, the church at Ephesus. And us, it's not just Ephesus, it's us. We shall eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. God has set a table before us. In Psalm 24, it says, he set the table before us in the presence of our enemies. So even if that is where we are, that we are to rule in the midst of our enemies. Smyrna, we shall not taste the second death. The second death is synonymous with the lake of fire, which is not the death of your first body, it's the second death. The lake of fire was created for the devil, for demons, and for unbelievers who have rejected Christ. We talked on Tuesday night about people who believe and don't believe, and there's a lot of flotsam and jetsam all around about it. But at the end of the day, if they have rejected Christ, they are not going to go to heaven. If it says unbelievers. So if anybody has even professed the name of Jesus, not even understanding. I know when I first came to Christ, I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't know I had been born again until 6 months later. I knew something happened, but I didn't know what it was. So we have to err on the side of mercy and grace. Okay. Pergamum. We can receive the hidden manna and a white victory stone that has a new name written on it that no one knows but the one who owns the stone. Now I've been through this whole portion of scripture a number of times. So God has opened up this all for me. I have received a new name. I have a white stone, and I eat the hidden manna in the inner man. That's where you get the hidden manna. It's in the inner man. It's the mystery. The mystery of the gospel is not a mystery to believers, right? What's the mystery of the gospel? Jesus Christ died for our sins, was raised again, and ascended into heaven. He bought a new life for us. He's the firstborn of many brethren. So if we believe in him and follow him, we will have that victory stone, and we will have a new name. Four, Thyatira. We can have power over nations. Those nations is either groups of people or demonic presence. We have authority over that. We have the power to shepherd them with a scepter of iron. We talk a lot about where you work, where you shop, your neighborhood. That's your place that you can rule and reign over. You can talk to the people. I'll just tell you something. I'll share this. There's a family that lives across from me. We raised our children together. The woman has serious mental issues. She's always had serious mental issues. She still has it. She's been through a lot of, I have witnessed to her and prayed over her, seen Jesus go into her. She still has issues, but at least she's functioning. I know that if she had never come to the Lord, she wouldn't be functioning at all. She had three children. One of them married, teacher, doing really well, has two boys. The boy, I don't know what's going on. I just heard my hairdresser's sister's son married one of the girls, this girl named Amy. She is now pregnant with three boys, twins, and then one third pregnant. So you see that I have prayed for this woman for so many years, talked with her, shared with her, and here is Amy thriving, married. She was in deep trouble for a number of years. See, we can't look at when she was in deep trouble. We have to look and say, this is when God answered this prayer. And here she is married and about to have three children. What a blessing. What a blessing. What an answer to prayer. And my neighbor across the street is going to help her take care of those babies. So, you know, God is faithful. He answers the cries of your heart. Don't ever think that he's not answering your prayers, because he is. He may not answer it in your timing or in the way that you asked, but he's God and he knows. And that in that place in Thyatira, he will give you power to shepherd with a scepter of iron, even as I myself have received from my Father. So we receive the power and the authority of the living Christ, and we can receive the morning star. That is the church that can receive the morning star. I have received the morning star. You also can receive the morning, tremendous power in the morning star. 5, Sardis, the church at Sardis. We can be clothed with white, have our name not blotted out of the book. I think that says something about God already having our name in the book. I think that your name gets blotted out if you turn away from him. I think that's the Lord's desire, because desires of God are that no one would be left out. He wants all men to come to understand who he is and know him. He will mention our names before the Father and before his angels. I love that. I love that. I hear God mention my name. 6, Philadelphia. We can become a pillar in the sanctuary, and we will go out no more. So we do remain in that sanctuary. He will write the name of God on us. Jesus, this belongs to Jesus. As well as the name of the city of God, which is the New Jerusalem. And he will give us our own new name. When you're born again, you're a new creation, you get a new name. 7, Laodicea. We can sit with him in his throne and the throne of his Father. Now that, to me, is the most important one, because we do want to sit. We are seated in heavenly places, it says in Ephesians. We are seated together with him in heavenly places, and that's where we rule and reign. You have to fight for your seat, because there are people, places, and things that don't want you to remain in that place. Don't want you to win. Don't want you to have victory. But see, Jesus is much bigger than all of them, and God is much bigger than all of us. So we can open that door and enter into the throne room because of what Jesus did. I already shared about the morning star. One of the teachings, which I think I shared at the beginning of this, relating to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, is that the teachings are also chronological toward the end of the age. So the last church is Laodicea, which was neither cold nor hot. Is that our church in America? I think so. So there are different ways to interpret the word. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches and shares with us, but it's very enlightening to come into a place like that with the word of God and understand how he moves. So we're in the Laodicean age. That's what you could say. Because I believe we are in the end times. I even heard a teaching that said that once Jesus came, that was the beginning of the end times. So I remember my father saying, well, how do you know it's the end times? It doesn't matter whether I know it's the end times. I believe what the word of God says is true, and that's what matters. It's not about where we are chronologically. It matters, are you a representative of Jesus Christ? Are you walking and moving and exalting and honoring him in every part of your life? That's what's important. It doesn't matter what part of the age you're in. Only if historically you want to look and see where Jesus is. There are timelines and people that teach all this. I'm not one of them. But I think it's important that we take a moment now. We're going to specifically pray the word that was given to Laodicea as their present-day solution. Their present-day solution, our present-day solution. Now, remember, Philadelphia was the one that had the key of David, which has to do with worship. But this is Laodicea. Okay, I'm going to read this. This is an admonition and an encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to us. Revelation 3, 18 to 20. Therefore, I counsel you to purchase from me gold refined and tested by fire, that you may be truly wealthy, and white clothes to clothe you and keep the shame of your nudity from being seen, and salve to put on your eyes that you may see. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love. Now listen, those whom I dearly and tenderly love. I tell them their faults, and convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. So we want that, don't we? So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent, changing your mind and your attitude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him, and he will eat with me. He who overcomes is victorious. I will grant him to sit with me beside my throne, as I myself overcame, was victorious, and sat down beside my Father on his throne. Why do we follow Jesus? Why follow Jesus? Why not follow Buddha or one of the other gods, Muhammad or Ishlakabumba or Obama? Well, because Jesus is the only one that was resurrected. He's the only one that's still alive. Buddha is dead. He was a nice man and he preached really wonderful things, but he's dead. Jesus Christ is alive, and when you say yes to Jesus and invite him into your heart, he comes in and he shows you how alive he really is. I don't know. I didn't even know what was going on when I got saved. He came in and totally changed my life. I didn't even know who I was for a while. I was like, "What?" But what a blessing. What a blessing for the Lord. What a blessing for me. So, are your ears awake? Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. Heed what the Holy Spirit says. I just want to end, I felt to end this with worship, so I'm going to pray and play that song, Unto the Lamb. This is a time for you to really bring yourself before the King, and if you heard something, if you wrote something on your paper, or God is, you just want to worship him, just going to spend some time, because the end of Revelation 4:11, it says, worthy are you, the end of the message that says, come up here. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion. For you created all things. By your will, they were brought into being and were created. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. If people say, I don't know Jesus, I never heard about Jesus, I don't know anything about it, this word, Psalm 91, covers that. Because you can't look at nature. You can't see the heavens and not believe that there's a God that created it. Had nothing to do with man. And Jesus is the Son. I have heard so many miraculous encounters, people who believed other things, and God, and I would include myself in that, God came down and showed them that Jesus was the Son of God. That Jesus was the door to back into that place where the Father God and you can be reunited and walk together in peace and harmony, because that's what we want, isn't it? We want peace and harmony. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I spent many years of my life in fear and agony and anguish and darkness, and I will not go back there ever again, because I love walking in peace and walking in safety and knowing that God is taking care of me. So his word says that no good thing will he withhold with those. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So my desire is to walk uprightly. And I believe it's yours. So I'm going to pray real quick. And then we're going to just sing that song. I asked John to put the words up too. So if you want to sing and worship with the song. Father, we thank you that you are a holy God and that you have called us to holiness. You have brought forth an anointing and an understanding of your word through John the Revelator. So I pray, Lord, that as your people here and those that look on our website and see and understand and take and eat from the words that are spoken in this church, Lord, that they will understand and have a better understanding about the Spirit of God. You, Spirit of God, speak to our hearts even now and help us with some of the problems that we may be facing, that we can hear your voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who speaks to your people because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.
To the Lamb in the midst of the throne, beautiful Lamb in the midst of the throne, the worthy Lamb, glorious man, slain. Unto the blood.